We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's just.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed our opening yet again. That opening is really fucking sweet. I worked really hard on it. And if you don't fucking like it, fuck you.
Yeah. Because he assholes. Did good shit. And you need to appreciate the good shit. And fuck you if you don't.
Yeah. Don't listen to it closely. You're going to clearly hear all the mistakes in it.
And all the really horrible and weird things we say.
That's true. But welcome back. We are Soul of a Gamer podcast. I am Scott.
And I am Steven.
And every week we usually play a game and tell you about it, the making of it, and our reviews of it. But this week we're not going to be doing that, at least for now. The site I normally get most of my information from is an archive site that archives all the old articles that... old gaming websites that don't exist anymore, clearly for very obvious reasons, is down because it was hacked. So we're not going to do our normal little episode today. We're going to do instead our top five horror games of all time.
Had to keep it in the spooky realm.
Yeah, for sure. And if that website comes up by Tuesday, I think we'll have the normal episode out by Wednesday. If not, you can expect it next Monday.
Yeah, and we will announce what that episode is at the end of this episode.
That we already announced at the last episode, so they.
Oh yeah, I guess we did.
Yeah. So you'll be able to hear Until Dawn next Monday.
Either Wednesday or Monday. Yeah.
Either Wednesday or Monday. Probably. I'm hoping it's up by Tuesday, but I don't know. That's hackers fair. And shit. So.
That's fair. He's hoping to have the website back up like soon. He said days a couple days ago. So.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
And fingers crossed. But today we're going to be talking about our top five horror games. I think we're going to skip the traditional format where we normally talk about the games we're playing this week. Yeah. And we're just going to jump right into this. So let's go.
All right. I guess I'll start with an honorable mention. My honorable mention is PT, or Playable Test. It was the Silent Hill Playable Test that was on PlayStation 4. The only reason this isn't higher on the list is because it's what it's titled. It's just a teaser. It was just the first like little short segment of the game. It is absolutely amazing, incredible, terrifying, like one of the most atmospheric, like especially because it's just a loop hallway sequence. It's just absolutely just terrifying in every way, and there's a lot of imagery from that that is just stuck in my head, especially like the embryo and the sink.
Yep.
Like, well, everything about that is just gross.
The fact that Norman Reedus, right?
He was gonna play the character,
I think. Yep. And that would have been so fucking cool.
Because as soon as you exit and complete the end of it, you get the like cutscene with Norman Reedus, and he like walks out, and that's when you finally see that it's like a Silent Hill game, and it's like that would have been the coolest shit ever. And I'm so mad that it didn't actually go through, but just because it is just, I mean, for us. Only a short segment of the game, though. It's better than a lot of, like...
so much love.
Yeah.
Dude, like, that game is in the hearts of millions, I bet.
Like, that game's way above, like, Layers of Fear, any of those other kind of games that's kind of in that same realm. Like, I would play this over any of those.
Yeah, I agree. And with that game, too, like, that was around the time Norman Reedus was his most famous, because I think like, early days of Walking Dead, probably the first two seasons, I would say.
Yeah, I was going to say the first few, at least, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, everyone knew him from that, but I'm like, he was in the Boondock Saints, you fucking assholes. He was so cool.
That is when true fans fell in love with Norman Reedus.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure he was in shit before that, but that's what I always knew him from.
Oh, I mean, those are the two things I only remember as well.
Yeah, but I have an honorable mention as well. I am going to give it for Project Winter.
Project Winter? Now, I don't think I've heard of that one.
Project Winter is an Among Us style game, you know, survival game. It's just, to me, so much fucking scarier because you're stuck in the mountains during a horrible snowstorm and there's a traitor and you have proximity chat.
Oh, okay.
And like you're leaving the safety of the confines in order to rebuild the satellite uplink in order to call for rescue.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and if you can get rescued, you're good. But then there's a people Among Us kind of style where there's people who are out to kill you.
Okay.
And you could be traveling with a buddy that you've had the entire time and you're like out in the middle of nowhere and he just fucking kills you.
All right. So really like atmospheric, very much like environmental as well.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's just like you can't stay out in the cold too long because you'll end up dying from frostbite.
Oh,
and
so, like
it's
way more
fucked.
Survive elements too.
Yeah. The only problem I ever had with it are the people online playing it are really, they're very white and they're using the N-word all the time. So I'm just like, okay, guys.
You're
not cool enough,
toxic.
Man. You got to fuck. You got to go fuck off.
Yeah.
So, that's the only, it's just got a toxic community. But other than that, it's fine.
That's fair. I mean, a lot of those kind of style games have toxic communities.
For sure.
Unfortunately.
All right, Steven, give me your
My
first game
five
on your
pick,
list.
Inscription. This is actually one that we played when we first were doing the podcast. And this is just one of the most unique games on the list. Deck building roguelike. It's very unnerving and atmospheric as hell, especially that first segment.
Yeah,
with
the cabin part.
Oh my god, the cabin is
so horrifying.
God. Just every part of it, I mean, that it just gives you that unnerving, icky feeling, and you're just like, I don't know, like you're trying to focus on the game, but there's just so much like shit, just like eyes looking at you. I mean, just the art style of the entire thing is just so creepy in every way. It's just, it stuck with me, and it's a game I've actually gone back to, I think, two or three times now. Like,
yeah.
One
of my buddies went and 100%ed it.
Yeah. Nice. Actually, I need to do the same because I just absolutely love this game.
It's a lot of fun. It's got a very interesting play style, and the ending is just the most incredibly sad thing you ever have to deal with in life. So
yeah. Well, and I really like that it has like the real life elements too. And,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think at my number five, it's going to be Amnesia: The Dark Descent.
Okay.
This is a game that, you know, a lot of people put on a lot of lists of the scariest games ever, and it is really fucking unnerving.
Yes.
Like the constant darkness, you're moving around, you're feeling like at any moment you're going to die. But in truth, it's really predictable.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what pushes me away from giving it a better rating than number five. It's still really scary up until the last part, and then I feel like it's just stopped being scary altogether. And it's still kind of unnerving, but because of how predictable it is, it's really easy just to stand in the darkness and be fine.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
there's another game on my list where you stand in the darkness and you're totally not fucking fine. So
fair. I mean, for me, this game is one that I never actually completed because I couldn't deal with the motion sickness of it a lot, too. That had a lot to do with it. But, I mean, it was also just extremely unnerving. And I just didn't deal with that very well.
Yeah, the story is kind of like weird, but the game itself is really fucking cool. Like, it is a really, it's a good way to start horror games, I will say. If you ever wanted to jump into like a really scary game and get the feel for it right off the bat, you jump into this game.
Oh, yeah. It's always going to be one of those franchises that I watch everyone play and don't actually play myself.
Yeah.
But I love to watch it still.
All right. Well, I'll kick it off at number four here.
Okay.
I'm going to go, and this is a weird one at number four, but I'm going to go Phasmophobia.
Okay, I never actually did play this one.
Yeah, this Phasmophobia is a very interesting game style. It's a multiplayer game style. You have up to four people, I believe, on a team trying to figure out what's haunting a house and how can you get rid of it.
Yeah, I was going to say this is a Ghost Hunter one, right, where you use like the EMF readers and stuff like that.
Yep. And what's so terrifying about it is you can have haunts start. And during the haunt, you have to go and hide.
Oh, okay.
And while you're hiding, like, you could be hiding in a closet, and the ghost will just open the fucking door and find you, and it can kill you. Like, at one point, I was just hiding behind a box, and it ran behind the box and just killed me.
Oh, damn. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty... It's insane. But like, you have those moments, and this is another one, is proximity chat. So you're like kind of stuck with your crew, but if you're in a different room hiding and the ghost is in there, you have no way to tell anyone. If you make noise in your mic as well, the ghost can hear you.
I kind of figured, yeah.
Yeah, it gets really unnerving. And if they do open a closet door, you have to shut it really fast.
Oh, yeah. Which
they're like, so, you can't come in here. Get out.
So also, if someone screams and you're in that same room, you're kind of, they're fucking you over a little bit.
Yeah. If they, kind of. But the ghost will go to where that low scream is coming from, kind of.
That's fair.
But then the creepy stuff you find while you're looking, like, it's really an interesting game that's really hard to have, like, not one person die.
Okay.
But for the most part, it's really fun and interesting. I like the investigation parts of it, and it's just scary enough to keep you a little bit on edge.
Nice. All right, I guess for my number four, I'm going to go with Outlast. This one is one of the most outright fucked up and disturbing stories and characters ever created. This game is not for the faint of heart and will disturb most of you. The game... its first jump scare is one of the best jump scares of all time, in my opinion, and the first jump scare to actually make me jump out of my seat and flip my chair over. I was sitting in a mushroom chair. I wasn't even playing the game. I was watching my brother play the game because I'm too much of a bitch to play it myself. And that first jump scare happened, and I jumped up so high in the mushroom chair that I flipped the chair backwards and landed flat on my back. Amazing. And flipped out of it.
For Outlast.
For only having a run and hide mechanic, this game is absolutely terrifying. I've only played short segments when I've played it with friends. It was able to make do in the game, but I've never played all the way through. The game absolutely terrifies me, but the story is so fucking bizarre and disturbing and intriguing that I have to mark it high for creativity.
Yeah, and one thing about Outlast, when I played it, it's a little boring. At least it can be. And especially the last part of the game, it kind of just ruins the entire game for me.
That's fair.
Yeah, just that last little segment where it's like, it's all a sci-fi game. You're like, ah, damn it. Okay,
you can do
sci-fi horror, but don't fucking combine the two. Make it one or the other. Come on.
True. I mean, just that fucking, the groom and bride dude alone was fucked up enough for me to be like, I don't want anything more. That guy's way too wild.
You could have ended it there and it's been like completely fine, but going, you know, it went too far past that. When it starts coming out of the element of scary, that's when I stopped liking the horror game. Cause I'm like, okay, well, that's not a fucking horror game anyway. It's like Amnesia, right?
True.
Throughout the game, it's really good. And then you get to the ending and you're like, okay, this is starting not to feel like a horror game. It's more like I'm just trying to talk to this dude and push down pillars to get it to stop. Like, it's just boring as shit.
That's fair. All right. I guess I will go with my number three one then. I'm going to go with Alan Wake. This one inspired by one of the best horror authors. This game feels like it belongs in the mind of Stephen King. This game that warns you of what is coming by having you read the pages of the story that is not yet written and experience it for yourself in real time afterwards. The game makes you use light to fight the darkness and makes you uncover the truth of what is happening. It's just incredible, honestly. Like, I really just love the storyline of it. Like, it is a little gimmicky. The combat does get a little boring after a while. But, I mean, for the most part, the story of it, it's intriguing as hell. And I wanted to go through it. I can't wait to play Alan Wake 2. I actually got it recently.
Yeah. You know, Alan Wake, when I played it, the thing about Alan Wake is it's not too scary. I think any game where you can fight back, it kind of denotes that horror a tiny bit. It still makes it scary. It's just less scary because there's a way to fight back.
It makes me be able to play it. Games I can't fight back, I struggle playing with.
They're harder to play,
with,
for sure.
Yeah.
It does make it harder for a lot of people to like wrap their mind around the run-and-hide mechanic because that's not fun for everyone.
Yeah, no. Like I don't like having that feeling of just being completely vulnerable. So having some sort of way to combat it makes me able to at least brain myself through it and become a brave little boy through it. So
yeah. But that's the one thing I don't like about it, though. It's like we're on opposite sides there. I actually like the feeling helpless almost because I don't feel like I'm being very scared if I'm, you know, shooting a gun at something.
That's fair. And I mean, like, I love watching those stories. But experiencing it myself, like when I'm controlling it, it feels way more real to me. I just, Mm-hmm. I'm someone who like really gets like that empathy feeling of whatever you're feeling. I literally think it's happening to me. And so if I'm controlling it, especially, then I'm like, I'm vulnerable. I can't handle this. And I get to that mind space in my head where it feels way too real to me that it feels like I can't do it.
Yeah, fair. All right. My number three is, it's another multiplayer game. I'm going to go Dead by Daylight.
Okay.
Now, this game, one of the reasons I think future playing into the game, it diminishes that scary attitude as you get used to playing it and you understand the game more, because you're more just playing against someone. But the first time you play this game, you are fucking horrified. Like, yes. That is the first time jumping into Dead by Daylight is probably the best time you'll ever have playing a game.
Because of how
horrifying it is.
Especially if you're playing with a group of friends all for the first time, and it's just kind of random and none of you have really experienced it before. That is the best times to play it. Because playing against someone right away who's like the best in the world, it's almost too good, and it's like it kind of ruins it a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, future playing of the game, it kind of diminishes the feeling a lot. But that initial fucking play, that first time in, holy shit, your world is rocked.
Well, and I mean, especially for any sort of horror fans, the amount of characters and stuff in that, like, I've been really almost debating jumping back in just because I saw Chucky was in it now.
Oh, yeah, yes. I kind of want to jump back in, too, but it's been so long that I don't know if I can get back used to it.
Chucky is my favorite horror character of all time, and him in a video game just seems amazing, and all the gameplay I've seen of it is just wild.
I hate all the new Chucky stuff. I like the OG Chucky, the Child's Play, and...
Well, I do. I love those too, but I mean, like, he's still doing it. It's the same Brad Dourif's been doing Chucky.
I know, but it's just not the same. It doesn't feel the same. I think the 80s were like... I don't know. The 80s were this weird era where everything just felt scarier for some reason, and I think it's just technology has advanced to a point where horror is harder to do.
I will say the TV series... that was on Peacock for Chucky is phenomenal.
Yeah, I still haven't watched it. So
it gets one day wild. It actually just got canceled, unfortunately.
Oh,
there's
lame.
Actually a huge petition for people trying it, but like a lot of people are like, I don't think they have the budget to keep going bigger and better than what they did, because the way they end the last season puts Chucky on a global level that you're just like, what the fuck?
How do I compete?
yes.
All right, fair. But yeah, Dead by Daylight. Guys, again, it's kind of in a weird spot where I think the first time playing it is the scariest time, and then after that, you get used to it really fast.
Well, and the one thing that does kind of suck for that game is, I was telling kind of Scott earlier, is this game really, the better you are at it, the better the game is. If you're not good at the game, it really kind of diminishes it, because even being a killer cannot be fun if the survivors know how to do every trick in the book to stop you from doing anything. So they're just toying with you. They're making the latch last like 45 minutes and just laughing at you the entire time.
Yeah, we talked about toxicity, and that's one of the most toxic fucking games you'll ever play, with those goddamn survivors fucking around with the killer nonstop.
Yeah, almost any multiplayer game anymore is just toxic as shit. You just gotta have to expect it. That's why I stopped playing multiplayer games like 10 years ago, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Besides a few here and there.
All right, well, I guess it's my turn to go first at number two. I am going with The Mortuary Assistant.
One Scott actually wanted me to play.
This game is fucked, guys, okay? This is actually and it's fucked because each time you play it, it's different.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, so, and that's the best part about it, is it's unpredictable. You can't fucking predict what's going to happen at any given moment. Like, I thought I was really doing a great job at this game. I didn't die throughout the night, and the creature kept scaring me, and I'd be like, I'd look in the window, and it's just staring at me through the window, be like, oh, what are you doing there, guy? Get out of that window!
It's the worst kind of shit.
But it was so much fun, like, doing all the mortuary shit, draining the blood from someone, and, like, oh, God, it was so fucking weird.
I've heard the puzzles are really good in the game, too.
They are. Oh, my God. They're just so... This game is incredible, and in reality, it's very fucking scary. And then by the ending, you don't even know if you won or lost until the last 1 minute of the game.
Unless
you died throughout the night.
How comparable are, like, the puzzles to, like, Resident Evil or so? Like, on par, better, worse?
Honestly, a little worse. It's a little harder. I failed. I know that my first playthrough because the puzzle was a little bit too much. You're basically having to pay attention to a lot of things. So you're having to pay attention to marks on bodies that the demons make because you have to know which demon you're looking for. You have to pay attention to things that pop up. If the jump scare was a certain kind of jump scare, then you know that it's not this demon, but it might be this demon. Like, there is a lot you do have to pay attention to. So this game can get to be a lot, but even at the same time of paying attention to all that stuff, you are fucking terrified.
Interesting.
So it does a good balance of it, which I really enjoy.
Okay. It's one, I love the autopsy kind of horror movies, so this one has been in an interest to me, but I'm a scared little bitch. I got to find a way to be brave and do it sometime, but it's hard, such a bitch.
I had to play it. I had to stream it and act like a million people were watching me. So
there you go. Dude, I'm still a little bitch, even if a million people would be watching me probably. Like, I mean, in a group setting, like, I've been able to play Outlast. Like, I actually, in one, like, friend night, I actually played, like, most of Outlast 2, where nobody was able to progress, but I was, just because I would just mainstream. Like, I was like, I'm not exploring, I'm not doing shit, I'm running towards the exit every time. And they're like, well, you're actually progressing through the game. I was like, yep, because I'm not getting caught, because I'm too terrified to ever get caught. But yeah. All right, I guess for my number two, I'm going to go with Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Okay.
I was kind of on the fence between Resident Evil 2 Remake and Resident Evil 4, but I think 2 has it for me. 2
is so much more scary. Yes. So much more scary.
Especially just because of the horror elements. Like, Mr. X alone makes me so much more terrified of this game.
God, I remember just hiding up in a rafter at one point and being stuck there for 20 minutes while I heard the stomping outside. I'm like, he's not going to come in here. He's not going to come fucking in here. I'll just wait till he goes away. And he never goes away.
Yeah, well, and then there's that one, like, safe room area that he does go into that you, you're like, what the fuck? No, I'm safe here. This is not okay.
Be safe. Luckily, the first time he just kind of picks you up and throws you so he doesn't kill you right away.
Some of my favorite memes are the people who just fuck with Mr. X and do, like, all, like, the different, like, speech back and stuff. Like, I saw one where, like, Mr. X was, like, this person, like, trying to sell Bibles or something. And he was going up to Jill, and he kept on, like, as soon as she would open the door to go outside, hey, I wanted to talk to you about selling this. And then he, like, storms down the stairs real quick, and he shuts the door again. Oh, no, where'd she go? I guess I'll have to come back later. And he walks away. It was the dumbest shit ever, but it was so funny. But, I mean, this game's probably the best remake ever made, and one of the best horror games ever made. So it's kind of... I can't have an argument that most people would consider this in their top five video horror games of all time, and a lot of people say even video games of all time. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the scariest ones for me. It's one of the most fun ones to play. It's one that, especially having the two different story modes with the two different characters that intertwine at different times, even that makes it really amazing.
Yeah, I agree. It's a fun game. All right, what do you got at number one?
Oh, well, I think this one's pretty obvious. Not only is it my favorite horror game of all time, but it's also my just favorite game of all time. The Last of Us.
Yay!
Incredible story in every way.
It's got some fucking moments, dude, where you're just like,
dude,
be careful.
The noises Clicker make will forever haunt me and always unnerve me.
Yes.
Agreed. It is up there as one of the best, like, horror noises of all time, up there with, like, the Predator clicks and anything else like that. It's just so perfect. The amazing story, amazing visuals, the gameplay, the acting, the score, everything for this game. This is one of the games that I have said is the closest that you can get to perfection. And even though the show isn't absolute perfection, it is still an absolute must watch for any fans of the series. And I'm so excited for the future of it. Last of Us 3 was announced, so
woo, nice.
What's your number one?
I feel like The Last of Us 3 is not going to be as well as The Last of Us 1, since 2 wasn't like the most fun one.
Yeah, I'm hoping they kind of like bring it back or diverge something different or go with a different storyline.
I think they're
going
to have to, yeah, I was going to say a different storyline is going to be their best bet at this point.
Yeah.
They fucked over the main characters from the first one too much. One of them's dead and the other one is like, people don't like her anymore.
Yeah, and I don't even necessarily want to see like a Tommy storyline or anything like that. I kind of just, or like even a Joel prequel.
Yeah,
like I don't know if I want that either. I
just
do something
completely
separate
on a different side of the country different country altogether, you know.
Ooh, different country altogether would be really interesting.
Yeah,
actually
it would, honestly. That would be a really cool call for them to be like, it could be someone on an oil rig that finally made their way back to land, like, you know what
I
mean,
dude. That'd be
fucking
sweet.
Crazy.
I'm down for a different country Last of Us game. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I'd be totally down for that. But my number one, of course, has to go to one of the scariest games of all fucking time.
What?
I haven't even finished this fucking game because it's too fucking scary.
Oh shit, too scary for
Visage.
You.
Visage.
Oh, I have...
Yeah. Oh my god, this game. The
spiritual successor to PT, right?
Yes, yes. And it's so fucking scary. Oh my god, I hate it so much. So the first time I played this game, I kind of chose the first route, which is you can pick up one of three items.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the items. One's a key, one's a walking stick, and one's, is it the mirror? It might be the mirror for the last item. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
No, it's the key with the mirror on it, the walking stick, and then something for the little girl. I can't remember what's for the little girl. But you can play this in any order you want to for which story you do first. And the first time I played it, I picked up the walking stick, not understanding that if you pick it up, that's how you start. So, and then I start it, and that was fucking terrifying, and I put it down. I was like, I'm never playing the fucking game again. And then I chilled out, and I went back, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to touch the fucking walking stick because that was horrifying. Let's ramp it up and start with the girl, which might be a teddy bear. I don't remember exactly, but the girls was fucking horrifying, and at the end of it, she puts her fucking jaw on the sink, and that's one of the key items you have to collect is her fucking jaw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and just this game, just it gets you, dude. It's like what I was saying with Amnesia. It's you can't spend too long in the dark in this game. You'll go fucking crazy, and everything gets worse. The whole atmosphere of the game gets worse when you're in the dark for more than like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I heard the sanity thing in this is just absolutely ridiculous.
It is insane. And just walking around is insane. Hearing the footsteps. This one time you watch, like, you're looking through the door to see the little girl, and something runs up to the door really fast, shows its deathly eyes, and slams the door in your face. And you're like, what was that?
Yeah.
It's just like that kind of shit nonstop, and it's so fucking scary.
Well, isn't there a VR version of this game even, too?
I don't know if there is, but I bet there is. But I don't think it's like Quest VR. I think it's like plug in your VR, you know, on Steam or something.
Probably, but
my god, that game would be horrifying as a fucking VR.
Dude, that game, I mean, that was a game that they kind of were showing the progression of how it was being made as they were making it. And they were getting a lot of like crowdfunding and stuff, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And everyone was talking just about how amazing and how much this was just like PT and just as horrifying as PT. And everyone was like calling this a spiritual successor. And this game, everything I've seen of this game, which I actually haven't even watched the full gameplay of this game,
is
terrifying.
Guys, the first opening scene of this game is a guy grabbing a gun, shooting a little boy, a little girl, and a grown woman, and then themselves, okay? That's the start. That's the opening. That's not the fucking, like, oh my god.
Well,
like, that's something normally you rev up to. You don't just put it in the fucking front, you fucking assholes.
Seriously, though.
God. Terrifying, dude. Terrifying.
Well, and that's the craziest thing, I think, for me, is, like, the more and more, like, horror is becoming a popular thing, the more and more we're trying to, like, one-up other horror things.
Oh, my God. It's
and
so
one-up
bad.
The levels of disturbing and one-up this. And, like, I just watched Terrifier 3 this weekend, and, like, my God, the level of gore and some of this shit now. I'm just like, what the fuck are we watching at this point? Like, this is crazy. Everyone thought Saw was controversial, and now we're getting stories like Visage and Terrifier.
I mean, I still want to watch that new movie that just came out with the guy who played Professor X.
Oh, yes. The Speak No Evil or whatever.
Yeah, Speak No Evil.
Yeah.
James really want to... Yeah, I want to watch that movie because it looks like fucking horrifying.
That one, and another great one for especially all video game fans, is this movie. It's an indie film called In a Violent Nature. And this one is actually shot third person perspective behind the killer the entire movie.
Ooh.
Fucking wild. He's like a Jason.
Kill all these people?
Yes. Jason. Okay. He's like a Jason Voorhees style killer, and he's. Mentally disabled, but the way they show his mental disability is amazing. Like, he finds a toy truck at one point and he stops and he just sits and plays with it, and you're like, what the fuck?
Fuck
and,
you.
Dude, it's creepy, it's wild. But like, also, there's no soundtrack in this film. The only noises in the film are the noises of his footsteps, of him killing, of whatever people are talking about or listening to, or just the noises of the wind in nature. There's no...
All the colors of the wind.
Exactly.
That's all
it's,
you get.
It's wild, dude.
All right. Well, maybe we'll check that out sometime. That was the episode, guys. We talked about all our favorite horror games and, you know, just jump in, play a couple of those.
Tell us yours.
Holy shit. What?
Tell us your favorites. All your favorite horror games.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. I'm like, I literally just did. What the fuck are you talking about?
No, not you. The viewers.
Tell us
the
yours.
Listeners. Tell us your favorites.
I just fucking told them. Are you out of your mind?
Rewind the episode so you can hear Scott so he doesn't have to answer it again. But then tell us yours in the comments because he's too stupid for me to not just say this all the way through.
Fair enough. Yeah, guys, send out an email, soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Reach out to us. Tell us your favorite games. Maybe we'll feature them on the show, you know? Yeah, so. Yeah.
Also
shoot
on TikTok.
Shoot us a shit. And hopefully you hear our new episode on Wednesday Until Dawn. If not, it will be out the following Monday.
Yes. So we will talk to you later.
Yeah, appreciate you guys listening. Bye.
Bye.